One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
The first memory I have from the whole experience was waking up in the hospital a week later.
We're diving into a story of resilience, survival, and the extraordinary strength it takes to face life's biggest challenges as a parent.
I was having a conversation with my MFM, Dr. Samuel, and apparently I just passed out. My vitals went.
Marissa Christie is here, a mom of triplets who has experienced a life-altering birth.
We're 90% sure it's twins. Like 75% sure it's triplets. I cried for most of the first 2 months because I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. I just kept telling my husband, I was like, well, I only signed up for one. I just wanted one.
Hey, y'all, your girl Lauren here. And on today's episode, it's one that I think will stay with you for long after you've listened. I'm joined by Marissa Christie, a stay-at-home mom from Houston, Texas, raising four children. Three triplet girls, okay? Triplet, three of them, plus a four-year-old toddler. In August of 2024, which is 5 months ago from this recording, Marissa's life changed forever during the birth of her triplets when she faced a rare and life-threatening complication, an amniotic fluid embolism. While Marissa's story has been covered in publications like People Magazine, The Today Show, she's actually never spoken publicly about it. And today is the first day she's doing it with That Twin Mama podcast. Marissa was clinically dead for 45 minutes, unconscious for a week, and spent 9 weeks in the hospital recovering. Like, I thought my situation in birth was traumatic when my baby B came out breached, butt first, broke my pelvic bone, and I was in the hospital for 2 weeks during a pandemic. But this situation, y'all, blew mine right out of the water. Her incredible survival not only brought her family closer, but also gave her a profound perspective on the gift of motherhood, even on the hard days. Also joined with us is Dr. Rebecca Ballard, a neonatologist at the NICU Medical Center, director at Pediatrics, Neonatology of Houston. She was recently named the Physician of the Year at Memorial Hermann Woodlands Medical Center as well. Dr. Ballard brings us a wealth of expertise in high-risk pregnancies and newborn care that will help us unpack the medical side of Marissa's story while also offering insights for parents and multiples. I think one thing I wish I knew when I was pregnant with my twins is how different that pregnancy was going to be from my singleton pregnancy. You are high risk at the onset of knowing that there's two babies or three babies or four babies in your belly. So the type of care you get, the amount of times you're seen by the doctor, up into how you deliver is very different once it's labeled high risk. And we dive into that from both Marissa's perspective, but also a medical perspective. While this episode is filled with practical advice and inspiring moments, I encourage you all to listen for the underlying reminder that even on the toughest parenting moments, our role as parents really is a profound gift. I know it's hard to believe that or remember that when it's happening and we're all stressed out. But this episode, I'm saying for me at least, really helped me to shift my perspective to remember who we'd be without our kids and that we love them to death. I hope y'all like it. Let's do it. This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Verdi. Let's do it. Welcome, everyone, to That's What Mama Podcast. Today, we have an incredible episode lineup. We're diving into an extraordinary, and y'all, Marissa Christie is here, a mom of triplets who has experienced a life-altering birth, and she's here. The triplets are 5 months. Like, what? Very excited to have her today. And we're also, she's alongside Dr. Rebecca Ballard, a maternal fetal medicine expert here to provide her invaluable insights. Welcome, both of you. Thank you so much for being here. Let's start with you, Marissa. So you're not just a triplet mom. Your story is one of like resilience, strength, a medical miracle. Can you just tell me a little bit about yourself and your family, like in your own words, for our listeners who may not be familiar with your story yet?
Okay. Well, we have a 4.5-year-old, but we were trying for a second baby. So we did some fertility treatment and we got triplets instead, which was a shock. And then when we were doing the C-section for them, I had an AFE or an amniotic fluid embolism. Basically my heart gave out, I coded on the table, and then there was a whole lot of other things that happened after that.
Wow. And we're going to get so much into the weeds with your story. But so you have a 4.5-year-old who is boy, girl, or?
Mm-hmm. So we have a boy, and then we have the triplets are all girls.
And all girls. Okay. And then what are, I'm just curious, for our twin community, like we have a baby A and a baby B, like there's no baby C, I can't even imagine. But are they all like different personalities? Like what is their dynamic like? How is the older one adjusting? I'm just like curious a little bit more about your fam.
Oh, he has been, our oldest has been so excited from day one.
Oh my God. What a cool big bro.
We're like, they're not too big enough yet. You kind of got to like give them space.
Right.
But they definitely already have their own little personalities. We have like little nicknames for them. It's kind of fun.
Oh my gosh. I love it. And then Dr. Ballard, your work has touched so many lives, particularly those navigating high-risk pregnancies, as all twins and multiple mothers are. For those of you who are listening and don't know, as soon as you begin, if you become pregnant, no matter what your age is, and you have multiples in your belly, you're already automatically high risk, and you go to a special doctor, which is what Dr. Ballard is. So can you share a little bit more about your background and your passion for maternal fetal medicine?
So I'm a neonatologist. So I'm taking care of babies from the time that they're born until they go home. And we collaborate with all the team that's over there at labor and delivery, the maternal fetal medicine specialists, the obstetricians. And then there's even another team that I don't even see that Marissa knows well, is the reproductive endocrine specialists. And they are there at the very beginning to make sure that these babies happen.
Wow. The medical, like the, how many things that touch like the mothers and parents as soon as like you conceive or even trying to conceive is wild and amazing and truly like medical miracles, I feel like happening all the time. Okay. So let's start at the very beginning, Marissa. You touched on your journey a little bit, but I want to hear more about you conceiving triplets. Like what happened? Like how were you able to do that? Like what happened, girl?
Oh, well, so if I was to go all the way back to when we wanted our second baby, we like started trying and then we actually got pregnant pretty quickly and then had a miscarriage very early on. And I don't know what went haywire in my body, but we kept trying for another like year and a half and nothing was happening. So we ended up going to a fertility clinic basically. And started doing some tests just to kind of see what was going on. In that process, I had a hysteroscopy, which is basically where they went in and just kind of looked at my uterus, looked at everything to kind of make sure everything was okay. And I did have a lot of polyps in there and they said they got rid of those. And they were basically like, there's no way there's no way that a baby would have been able to even exist. So after that, they gave us the three options. So it was about probably the least invasive option that we could have done, which was a trigger shot. Basically, they did an ultrasound on me 3 days a week. And then when they decided that my follicles were mature enough, they were like, let's go ahead and trigger ovulation. So I took a shot and then, you know, went from there.
Oh my gosh, girl, I can't even, like your story, it's so wild because it sounds a little bit not similar to mine, but I also too had a lot of polyps that I didn't discover until they took out my IUD. I had it in for 10 years. My kids are 10 years apart. Oh, wow. So we took it out and the arm got broken off in me. And so they had to put me under to get the arm out. And they discovered all these polyps, took it out. And they were like, yeah, you're gonna have a really hard time having any more kids just because of my hormones and all different things. And I was like, okay, well, we have one. It's so all right. And then eventually had multiples. But just all to say, there's two like things that you said that I have seen, like, as I don't know what the science is behind it, but a lot of people in the multiples community have expressed how their babies were rainbow babies after some loss, or they just got their IUD out or had polyps and got that removed. There's something, I don't know, there might not be science backing it, but I'm like, there's just lots of coincidences with, I feel like, with the story you just told.
Yeah.
Dr. Ballard, to Marissa's point, she took an ovulation trigger shot. So can you tell us, like, is it likely if you take an ovulation trigger that you might result in like twins or multiples? And how is this shot that she took different from, let's say, IVF or something else like that?
I can speak a little bit about this because it's not my full specialty. I think Marissa probably has even more detailed experience with it, living through it. But definitely anytime that you're triggering ovulation, you can result in multiple eggs that are mature. And oftentimes it's timed with other procedures like intrauterine insemination or IVF or something like that, so that you can have everything timed out to make sure that everything is go.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And Marissa, would you add to that? Like, what did the doctors say to you as they were doing it? Is it like I'm sure they gave you all the options, right? And so why did you
basically
choose that?
Said we had the trigger shot, IUI or IVF.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, we'll try the least invasive. And if that doesn't work, we'll kind of reevaluate and go from there. I'm pretty sure they told me multiples were extremely likely because there's less, obviously with that method, you have less control over how many eggs are released.
And
because it's just kind of leaving it up to whatever my body releases, which is exactly what happened. My body released 3 eggs instead of 1. Wow. So I'm sure they did, but I don't that I was either not paying attention or I don't remember it, because when they told me that there were triplets in there, I think you could have heard a pin drop in that room. I was like in complete shock.
Oh my gosh. Was your husband with you when they told, did he tell you both?
No. Or like, so okay. The way they did it, it was like, obviously we did the trigger shot, and then 2 weeks later I had a blood test and they were like, oh, you're pregnant. Congratulations. And then 2 weeks after that, I went in just to make sure we had like a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Not a heartbeat, to make sure that the pregnancy had stuck. So
Yeah.
And they had like a nurse doing my ultrasound, and she was really quiet for a long time, which from my previous experience was like very nerve wracking. I was like, It failed. It didn't work. And then she went and got another nurse and like a more experienced nurse. And they came in and they're like, so we're 90% sure it's twins, like 75% sure it's triplets.
Oh my word.
It was just like a routine, because they do them every week. For the first like 10 weeks. So they were just doing a routine thing and they were like, we need you to come back and have the doctor look at you to make sure it's triplets. And at the time, there was like a whole other thing that happened, but it was quads originally.
Oh, wow.
The ABC was in a sack with an identical twin. So she not only we had the triplets, but she had split and she had a twin. So, but that baby never had a heartbeat. It never continued past like 6 weeks.
Yeah. If they're in the same sack, I know it's very, 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 very rare for both too. It's like one of the most high risk when it comes to twins, if they're sharing everything. But wow.
So that was a lot to process.
I can't even, because I know the feeling of when they're like, you know, they're silent and then they say like, you're having twins. For me, it was like, you're having twins. I was like, oh, shut up. Shut the F up. And she's like, excuse me. I'm like, yeah, shut up. And like looking at my husband, like, y'all put him up to this, and it's just silence. And I'm like, oh, holy crap. Like, what do I do with this? And then it's just like shock. And then eventually I think the excitement comes in after you get over the shock.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine the shock maybe lasted a little bit longer for you because it's 3. I don't know.
Yeah, I cried for most of the first 2 months because I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. I just kept telling my husband, I was like, well, I only signed up for one. I just wanted one.
Wow. Okay. So I want to just, because I'm not fully clear too. So an ovulation trigger shot, it just is a shot, and Dr. Ballard, you can chime in here too. It just makes you ovulate, like Mm-hmm. A lot.
It forces ovulation. So instead okay. of my body naturally releasing eggs, I can never remember what the medicine is that I took, but it basically forced my body because like my follicles were mature and they.
Okay.
And then, you know, intercourse from there.
Yeah, got it. Got it. Yeah. So then the birds and the bees happen. Awesome.
Yes.
Okay. So now I want to get to like, we've talked about your pregnancy, but can we talk about your delivery? Like you had mentioned that you faced amniotic fluid embolism, which is like AFE, we'll be calling it that on this show today. But it's a condition that's so rare. It affects like one in, I think, 40,000 deliveries, which is wild. And what stood out to me when I was researching is how all of a sudden and life-threatening it can be. Can you tell us, walk us through your experience with that, Marissa?
Oh my goodness. I can walk you through what I've been told.
Yeah. Right.
Because
right.
I don't remember the first memory I have from the whole experience was waking up in the hospital a week later. But in layman's terms, what doctors believe is that the amniotic fluid from your baby enters the mom's bloodstream and kind of causes like an allergic reaction. And usually it happens in delivery, in labor or whatever. In my case, from what I'm told, it happened when they cut the cord on Collins, our baby C. So they had cut the cord on the first two. My husband wasn't even next to me at the time. They were like, "Dad, come over here and get pictures." And so he's right behind me getting pictures. And they went ahead and started cutting Collins' umbilical cord. And then apparently my arms flew up. And I was having a conversation with my MFM, Dr. Samuel, and apparently I just passed out. And then my vitals went non-existent. So they immediately started CPR. And then, so they've got CPR in the top. And then they had Dr. Samuel down there and tying up my uterus to try to get that put away and taken care of. From what I'm told, it was basically just organized chaos at that point.
Oh, because I'm imagining, so this was, you had your scheduled C-sections. The babies were born at like, what week was it? 33 weeks. So it's scheduled. Everything's going as planned. And then by baby C, something, what you described happens. And then how wild and like, what was your husband like? I'm curious now because he has this miracle happening. You're three babies, but then you see your wife. Like, have you guys spoke about that? Yeah. What did
they, I mean, we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
They got him out of the room very quickly. So there was like a period of, I think, 15 minutes between when they pushed him out of the room. And then of course the girls are still in there with our team, with their NICU team. Right. And so there was a good 15 minutes before the girls were processed to the NICU is what I'm told, where he was just kind of like, my wife is dead. Like he wasn't with the babies. He was just by himself in the hallway. And then the amazing NICU nurses, the NICU there is amazing, Dr. Ballard. They came and got him and brought him to the girls. So he was able to be with them until our family could get to the hospital with him. So
Jesus, I can't, I mean, this is just giving me chills. Like I think as women in general, like a lot of our births have trauma. Like they just do, like whether it's like you didn't want a C-section and you had an emergency one, or like for me, it wasn't nearly as traumatic. My baby B was breached. So baby A came out fine. Baby B came out butt first and she was gray for a little bit, but then she was fine. But she broke my pelvic bone in coming out. And so I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. I think it was 2 weeks because I couldn't walk. And this is like during COVID. So there was just we all have that. For anybody expecting, like not all births are trauma, don't be scared.
Right.
I'm just saying like everyone's happy and healthy now. And you could have exactly the birth that you pictured. However, these are things that have happened. I think it's just fascinating to share your story, especially when it's so rare. Dr. Ballard, can you explain a little bit more, like from a medical standpoint, about during like an AFE episode or how medical teams manage to like address such an unpredictable situation like this?
I was just thinking about that because already the OR is crowded. You've got three babies and you've got four teams. Basically, you've got a team for mom and then for a routine C-section. I mean, it was scheduled, you know, you got your steroids in, everything was set. We were more worried about the babies than mom. And then all of a sudden that flipped and we have a team for each baby. And then all of a sudden, it's not only just routine. I mean, Dr. Zane was amazing, maternal fetal medicine specialist, but you need a surgeon to be able to help. And then you also, because she went on ECMO, to be able to manage her heart and lungs externally, you know, to be able to circulate her blood because everything's going haywire on the inside. And then that room just gets really crowded because everybody's working on making sure that her vital signs are continuing to go when this wasn't expected. You know, cutting the cord, routine thing, happens all the time. And then all of a sudden, in this case, the amniotic fluid embolism happened.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's just so wild too. And for anyone expecting multiples or if you've had them, one thing I didn't know for certain until I was there was I was scheduled for a vaginal birth because I'd already had a baby and I was a good candidate. So I didn't realize even if you're scheduled for a typical birth, they move you to an OR just in case there's emergency C-section. So we walked in, it was still COVID. So they were limited, but there was like 13, 14 people there. And I was like, what is happening? And then there were scalpels. I was like, what is happening? Like you just, but they're preparing for anything that could potentially go wrong. Right. So there's, like you said, a team for each baby. So that, and then there was, you know, the person that was doing my birth, you have the person, I don't even know what you call all the people, but like making sure your heart rate is fine. And like, I had an epidural and then there's other people. I don't know what they were doing, but everyone has a purpose and just prepare for when you come into a room to give birth. There might be a lot of people there that you didn't expect. However, they're there for situations that could happen like this, which God bless, like God, thank God that they were. That's truly amazing. Okay. So I'm wondering, so once you woke up, like how was that? Like, how did that go? Like, for real, how was that experience and surreal waking up and like, oh, okay.
Babies. In one word, terrifying.
Yeah.
Very terrifying. Cause I had no memory of even going to the hospital. So in my head, and I was out of my mind, high on drugs at the time when I woke up and gained consciousness. So I was like, I'm in a dream. There was a good few hours where I thought I was in a dream and I was like, I'm going to wake up. It's going to be fine. I'm still going to be pregnant. It's just like a vivid dream. And then I was like, nope, this is real. And then I was like, maybe I was in an accident. And that's why they had to deliver the girls really quickly. asking my husband, I was like, well, is the car okay? And he's like, the car is fine. Like, oh, he was, it took the doctors and my husband a very long time to realize that, like, I was not completely there for a good days. And I know the NICU did bring the girls to see me. They did skin on skin when I was in my coma, but they did bring them to see me when I had woken up. I have very vague memories of that. I think I was still pretty out of it. So like we have lots of pictures and videos that I can look back on, but like that's still pretty vague. So that was like the first official time meeting the girls, and it's still pretty hazy for me.
That is so wild. So I know I've like seen this. I don't even know. I don't even know if this is true, but like, even Dr. Ballard, can you speak to this? But like, when that, like, is it, I don't know if it's called amnesia or what do you call, because you were conscious during the first couple babies of birth, right? And then it's like you lost that memory completely, right? Like,
yes, the whole birth, I was conscious because I was having a conversation because Collins was our baby that we had issues with when I was pregnant. We were apparently joking about like, oh my gosh, thank goodness she's out because she took 10 years off of all of our lives because we almost didn't make it.
Right.
And like Dr. Ballard said, the whole pregnancy, our biggest worry was always the girls. We were like, we got to get the girls. Yeah. Like if they come before the C-section, we have to make sure that they're taken care of. And my husband and I's biggest worry was like, oh my gosh, how are we going to be going back and forth to the NICU? Because we live 30, 40 minutes from the NICU in the Woodlands. And not once did it ever enter our mind that on top of all that, we'd have to deal with whatever went on with me.
Right. Yep. And do you think, like, is that like, Dr. Ballard, is that something that our brain does to protect us? Like from like, I mean, I know you're not like a neurosurgeon, but like, is that like something that happens to us for her to not remember the shock or the trauma? Like the fact that she doesn't remember being in a coma, obviously, but then prior to that, right?
That's pretty common. I think I've heard about it being talked about as like kind of a black box sometimes with anesthesia, not quite knowing how everything works, but we know that there's that period of amnesia and not having a sense to it. And sometimes it can extend prior, especially with trauma, things like that.
Wow. That's just phenomenal. And I had one question backing up a second, but so the amniotic, the AFE, is every woman allergic to that if it got into their bloodstream, is that a specific reaction that happened for Marissa? Do you know, either one of you?
I'm told it happens every time. A little bit, I think.
It's dangerous every time.
Okay. It's dangerous every time. So if that happened in any sort of delivery, it's not like it's, our bloodstream is not meant to have that in our fluid as a parent. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was like a particular allergic reaction. Okay. Wow. That is just, I'm just can't believe it. I'm like, girl, and you did this 5 months ago. What? Girl. Okay. Anyways, moving along. Okay,
she recovered too. You know, it's not just that she delivered triplets. Like she was a whole patient herself in intensive care. Like,
yeah, that was a party rolling into the NICU with all my wound back and huge wound there.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, every time you came into the NICU, we were just in awe. We were like, this is a miracle. This is a walking miracle.
Yeah. Girl, you're badass. Like straight up. Like I can't even like, yo, you seriously, what else can't you take on? Like that's wild. So, cause technically, I mean, I'll link the article down below, several articles that have covered Marissa's story, but like she was technically dead, right? For 45 minutes. Like you stopped, everything stopped. And we're not saying like, oh, she was out of it, y'all. Like she was like, for all intents and purposes, died for 45 minutes, then was in a coma for 6 days and came out of that. Mm-hmm. So badass. That's the word I'm going to say. Okay. There we go. Now, can we like, now that your babies are here, they're 5 months old. What is it like as a triplet mom plus a toddler? Like I'm just curious your day-to-day, the logistics, like I know what it's like for two. I don't understand. So can you just... however many words you have to describe that. What is this like, your life?
Most days it's absolute insanity. But we have a very strict routine that we stick to, which does include, like, we do leave the house. For my mental health, we leave the house at least once a day to either go outside. We have a local gym that we go to, and we've actually started taking the girls because I was like, look, my husband and I were pretty active. Like that's one of our favorite things is to go to the gym together. So yeah. I was like starting to get an itch. And technically I was like, my doctor's cleared me. So like, I want to go back. So we started taking the girls just to give me like an hour of no one crying or spitting up or whatever. So we stick very closely to our routine. Like the best thing the NICU did was get the girls on like a feeding schedule. So we just kind of kept that when we came home and just, nope, they eat at this time. They go to bed at this time. Like just keeping them on that schedule, because otherwise I don't know if we'd be alive.
No, I honestly, and I like, that's one, I think, blessing. I think with many parents of multiples, I don't know what the percentage is, but there's a large percentage where your kids are going to be in the NICU. They just are born early, right? And so taking advantage, I know a lot of people want to go home with their babies right away, but taking advantage of the schedule that the wonderful NICU nurses will get them on, I cannot tell you how like valuable that is. Like my babies were born at 38 months and 2 days. And so we took them home right away after 2 weeks of being in the hospital because I couldn't walk, but then we took them home, but they weren't on a schedule. We were putting them on that. And it's just, the schedule is important, y'all, for multiples, period. Okay. One baby, cool. Like let the baby do what they want to do. But when you got multiples, and if they were all doing different things, you would not sleep. You probably would, if you were breastfeeding, you wouldn't be able to produce anything because you wouldn't be able to sleep or eat or re-energize. Like the schedule is key. No matter how many you have, apparently, I imagine even more key for triplets. So good God, girl. And then what go on.
We're training them well.
Yes. I can't even imagine. So now let's think about, so they were in the NICU. Do you know for how long, like when did they come home with you all?
Charlotte, our oldest, I think was 24 days in the NICU. She decided very early on. She was like, I'm not about this NICU life. I need to go home. She was teeny tiny. She was like 5 pounds when she came home. We were like, she was the smallest of her sisters.
This is baby A. Charlotte is baby A. Okay.
Definitely encompassing that oldest sister energy. Yeah. And then Kendall and Collins came home at 36 days.
So okay.
Really, they actually weren't in the NICU very long considering that they were triplets.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, I mean, amazing. And then Dr. Ballard, from your standpoint, what are some common, I know we mentioned the NICU, but like some common developmental or health considerations parents of multiples should be mindful as they take their kids home for the first time and as they're growing?
The statistic I saw was that over 60% of multiples are born preterm. And so a good number of those are going to spend some period of time in the NICU. And I think being able to be patient with them and realizing that they might be doing things on their own time schedule and even a different time schedule from each other. And you guys have more expertise in that. And we just try to individualize the care for each baby. I mean, like we saw, you know, with your girls, Charlotte was ready. Okay. Sometimes we try to send the kids home together, but she was ready well before the other two.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you're naming that because milestones is just such a thing that all parents, I think, stress over, or like any developmental thing that's like, they should be doing this by now. What is happening? What's wrong? And I think I had my first, so I would just compare him to himself, or like I would read things and just make sure he was on track. But with twins or multiples, I think it's easier for us to be like, wait, is this a delay? Because this one has this, and the ones that are their exact same age by minutes don't. Like, is there something wrong? And maybe there's a tendency to want to compare and stress about that because we have a physical comparison of like the same age within our own household. Dr. Ballard, what like with those kind of considerations and worries that many multiple parents have, what strategies or things would you say or tips in dealing with that? Like when to worry or when not to worry. What would you say to parents of multiples for that?
I think there's no way to be able to tell a NICU parent not to worry.
Yeah. You know? Touche.
It's stressful. It's not, we try to make it as homey as possible, but there's always alarms going off. There's a lot of people. Even if your kid's doing fine, the kid down the hall may not be. And you just see that stress. One of the things we try to talk about is calibrating our worry level to say like, hey, right now your baby's doing exactly what they need to be doing at this gestational age. And if something changes and my worry level increases, then I'll let you know. Yeah. And I think trying to find that relationship between you and your baby, your mom and dad and their baby, and then finding a good pediatrician that can kind of help you, coach you, especially through those early stages when so much happens.
That's so true. I love that because, the key is not, we're not going to tell you don't worry. I mean, that we're parents, we're mothers. Like that's, you're going to. I love how you said calibrating your worry, bringing your concerns to your pediatrician. They will guide you. And if they tell you there's a concern, they will tell you there is a concern. But you don't need to make a concern before anybody has told you. Like, you know, tailor it because there's going to be so much to be concerned about later. I have a 14-year-old. there's a lot. There's a lot there. That's another episode. Okay, as we wrap up, y'all, Marissa, there's so many layers to your story, like resilience, joy, unshakable love for your family. Like, it gives me goose chills. I'd love to hear how your experience now, because you're a second time mom, you had your first, but how has your experience shaped your outlook on motherhood? Or has it?
It definitely has. I feel like it's made me appreciate what I have a little more, especially my kids, just to be grateful, like, oh my gosh, they're here. And I have those moments a lot where like, I'm like, wow, we made it through that. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's here. Like just being, especially because I'm a stay at home mom. So like there are days where like everybody's screaming. I'm stressed out. Like dad isn't home. Like I'm just, I try to remember in those moments, like, look, it could be worse. They could be being taken care of by someone that's not me. So I don't know. It does make those moments a little sweeter. I feel like going into it, I was pretty ignorant with my first about like what could happen. Cause like he was a textbook pregnancy. He was 40 weeks. Everything went perfect. Yeah. Vaginal birth, everything. And then to go into this where there was much, especially when I was pregnant, there were a lot of worries. And then you look up things, right? Like the stats with triplets, like the things that can go wrong. And I just remember being like, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how we're going to do it. Like a C-section was absolutely terrifying to me at first. I was like, I don't know about that. They're going to cut into me. I was like, am I going to be able to walk? Like, what does that look like? And I don't know. It just changes the perspective that you have on life in general, not just motherhood. Makes you appreciate those things more.
Yeah. I love that you're naming that because I do think perspective is so key too. And like, there's so many hard moments we have as parents, just like you name, like everybody's screaming. Also our like chemical and hormones are just so different after giving birth. It's just the tired days. Not to say the struggle isn't real, y'all. The struggle is real and your feelings are valid. But I also think that having the perspective of, I think for me, the way I compare it is my son now is 14 and my girls are toddlers. And my son is a 14-year-old who's like, mom, bro, get away, bro. I don't want to talk to you. He like closes the door. And my girls are obsessed with me. Where sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm touched out. But like, I remember how fleeting that can be because I see it, right? And so just having that, it's hard to do it in the moment, y'all. I ain't going to say you're about to pull out your hair and you're not going to be like, okay, I need to remember. I need to be grateful. Not trying to say like any toxic positivity. However, maybe creating like a gratitude journal, understanding like, what you like this life, right? Mm-hmm. And just those reminders are just so valuable. So I'm so glad that you have that perspective. I'm sure your husband's like, I wonder if that's changed like his perspective too of how much he values you. I'd imagine it does.
We like to make jokes like every holiday we have, like on Christmas. He's like, I'm glad you're here. Our family joke, it's a little, we have some dark humor. Our parents do not like when I joke about dying, but he's like, I'm so grateful I didn't have to hold auditions for a new wife. Because I was like, that would be a dating profile in a four-year-old, like
got triplets in a four-year-old.
We joke, but every like big milestone that we've had, like Christmas, we have like our wedding anniversary coming up, and we're just like, we're so grateful that we're here and we're whole.
Yeah,
all of that for how traumatic that time was. It all goes fast. Like I can't believe the girls are 5 months already, It feels just like we were just talking. We're like, I remember when they were so tiny, like you were afraid to pick them up because they were so tiny.
Oh my gosh. How beautiful. Oh, that's just so beautiful. And then Dr. Ballard, you shared so many valuable insights today. What's one piece of advice you'd give parents of multiples who might be feeling overwhelmed or just like underwater?
Especially for multiples, but really for any parents. Find your support system and you're taking it one day at a time and give yourself grace.
Well said. And like, I would just echo the support system. There's going to be a theme of this. I think the month that this airs, we might be doing a theme on village and finding your community and how valuable that is, especially for multiples when you're outnumbered. We were outnumbered, but our oldest was 10, but like triplets, you really are. And you're the toddler. And as mom, if you're a mother of twins, you're like, you have two arms and things like that, but there's just one of you. So just multiples. It's hard to have a baby. It's hard to go from 0 to 1. There's just a life-changing alteration. 0 to 2, 0 to 3, just up that notch from 0 to 10 to like 11, 12, 20. It's similar, but it's just intensified. So having community, having your people is so, so vital. And I know that's hard to find moms at some points. I understand that. We'll be talking a little bit more about that throughout these episodes about how to find a village, because it's just so invaluable. Finding a great pediatrician, finding people you can lean on that know and support you and are here for you, the babies, but also here for you. But I just want to, on that note, you all, thank you both for sharing your experiences, your expertise. And for our listeners, if you're navigating parenthood with multiples or thinking about starting that journey, there's just so much you can take away from today's conversation. Again, Dr. Ballard, Marissa, thank you both.
And that's a wrap for this episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before you go, let me tell you how you can keep this village growing. First things first, are you subscribed? If not, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. We're streaming on all major platforms, so let's make it official. Secondly, let's stay connected on socials. Follow us on That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram for short form relatable content, and follow us on YouTube at That Twin Mama Podcast for entire episodes in all of their glory. And lastly, and this is a big one, if you liked what you heard today, please leave a review. Your 5-star love means so much to me and the team behind the scenes and helps us to keep going. It also helps us to find parents like you who need to listen to these episodes, which mean the world. So until next time, take care of you, take care of your crew, and remember, you're doing an amazing job. See you soon. Peace.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.